Welcome to the number one source for information, news, and opinion on your Columbus Blue Jackets. This is CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Find us on the CBJ Radio SoundCloud page, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Spotify, Google Play Music, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Now here's your host, Bob McGilligan.
Only way that you could ever be better than me is if it was on opposite day. Take everything that you normally do, and bro, you gotta do it the opposite way. Hovey is trash, Hovey can't rap, he don't got no slaps on opposite day. You never defeat me, you'll never compete with me, homie, cause it is not opposite day. Opposite day, opposite day, opposite day, opposite day. Really though, you're gonna need you a miracle, you better hope and you better pray. Opposite day.
Well, it certainly did feel like opposite day in Toronto last night when the Blue Jackets lost to the Maple Leafs. 3-0 was the final score. That was game two of their Stanley Cup qualifying series. The first game, the Blue Jackets won by the score of 2-0. So that's about as opposite as it gets, is it not? The Blue Jackets just couldn't find a way to generate any offense last night. And it was just a tough night, tough afternoon, whatever you want to call it. It was tough overall for the Blue Jackets. Coming up in just a bit, I'll talk with Fox Sports analyst Jean-Luc Grandpierre all about that. But first, I want to tell you about Telhio Credit Union. You know, Telhio Credit Union, putting people over profits is nothing that is new to them. They've been doing it for a long, long time. How long, you ask? Well, I'll tell you, they've been doing it since all the way back in 1934. Yeah, and that is quite a long time, which begs the question, why do you need a normal bank? Why are you even concerned about a normal bank when you can have a credit union that will put you above and beyond anything else? Find out all about Telhio Credit Union. All you have to do is go to their website at telhio.org, and you'll get everything that you need to know right there. They'll tell you why you should join a credit union. They'll tell you what the benefits are. They will basically show you, just by you scrolling through and clicking on different options, they will show you why it's important to them to make you number one, and why you deserve to be first. So the Blue Jackets, they weren't first last night. They didn't even get on the board, but they were not first to the puck. They were not first in many categories whatsoever. I think the only category that they beat the Toronto Maple Leafs in yesterday's game was goaltending. And even at that, Frederik Andersen got a shutout, but Jonas Korpisalo was unbelievable for the Blue Jackets in that game. If it wasn't for Jonas Korpisalo, that game may have been 3 or 4 to nothing in the very first period. But he was on his game, and he held the Leafs off for as long as he could. As a matter of fact, let's go through the game recap, which is being brought to you by Moo Moo Express Car Wash, home of the Unlimited Wash Club. Blue Jackets and the Leafs, they skated to a 0-0 tie until there were 4 minutes left in the second period. And that is when Auston Matthews finally got himself free in between the circles. Oliver Bjorkstrand was trying to come back in a back check. Zach Werenski had pinched in offensively at the other end. He kind of got trapped. Bjorkstrand came back and was attempting to back check on the play. He didn't get Matthews' stick in time. Matthews was able to redirect a shot. He just tipped a shot. A pass came to him. He redirected it, and he got it inside the left post, and that's what gave Toronto a 1-0 lead. So the Blue Jackets are still in the game at that point, and they're still battling. They're still trying to get there. And then again, unfortunately for Werenski, he gets in deep on a play, and the Leafs get control of the puck. This one, Zach is trying to stick handle and get it from, I think he was taking it from the backhand to the forehand or whichever way it was. He's trying to take it from one to the other, and the puck rolls off his stick, and it goes right to the Maple Leafs, and they spring John Tavares on a breakaway. He comes in one-on-one with Korpisalo. Jonas thought he had it. He felt it hit him in the arm. The only problem was the arm was far enough away from the body where it hit him in the arm, and then it trickled through and got into the net, and that made it a 2-0 game. And really at that point, because the Blue Jackets just had no offensive push, they were getting very little, if any, zone time, offensive zone time against the Maple Leafs. The 2-0 lead felt like it was a lot more, but they were still trying to get into the game. And it just never happened. Eventually, a Morgan Rielly empty net goal sets the final score in the game at 3-0. So I sat here after the Sunday game and talked all about how almost perfectly the Blue Jackets played in the game, how they didn't need to make any lineup changes, how everything was good. Everything was peaches and cream, as a matter of fact, after the game on Sunday. But it soured in a hurry. And that's the way the National Hockey League works. We all know that. I think maybe we had forgotten that over the layoff over 4.5 months, but it is a tough league. And you knew that the Toronto Maple Leafs were going to come back and they were going to play a tough game. But did you know they were going to defend as well as they did? Maybe you should have known that, because two different people told me that yesterday. Jody Shelley said it in our rink report we did before the game. John Tortorella told me that in our pregame interview about how well the Leafs defended in game one. So I guess we should have been ready for them to come out and defend really well in game two. And they did. And that's why the Blue Jackets didn't get a goal, because they had a hard time generating anything when it came to the offense. But with all of that being said, Blue Jackets had power play chances. Their power play, again, looks like it is a work in progress. They just can't figure it out for whatever reason. Finally, on the last power play, they took Seth Jones off the half wall and they put him back at the blue line and put Werenski a little bit lower. So they're trying to do different things. But when you're doing that stuff throughout the course of a game, it means what you wanted to do isn't working. And unfortunately for the Blue Jackets, there was nothing that was working other than the play of Jonas Korpisalo. Everything else was broken at best. The lines were all mixed up. John Tortorella was trying to generate offense wherever he could. He couldn't find it. No matter what he did, he couldn't figure out a way for his team to get to where they needed to be. And they lost. In their effort, they lost. And now they are looking at a best of three series, because this one is tied at one game apiece. The next team to win two out of three is going to win the series. They are going to move on to the round of 16 in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And what's going to be an even taller order is the next two games are back-to-back, Thursday and Friday. Can somebody take these two games in a row? That's not an easy thing to do. But if someone does, if one of these two teams gets two wins in a row, that means that either a team will have won back-to-back games or a team's on a three-game winning streak, either way you look at it. But if they can do it, they can move on. Pressure is now on. The pressure is shifted back to the Blue Jackets. They had zero pressure after Sunday. They didn't deserve a lick of pressure after Sunday because of the way they played. Today, they deserve a lot, and they have a lot. And that's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. Again, this is a very unforgiving league at times. It is not easy just to roll. I mean, last year when the Blue Jackets swept the Tampa Bay Lightning, was it easy? Like, when it was all said and done, we were all thrilled. We were all just joyous as could be. But let's think about that. How many anxious moments were there in each of those four games? You know it's not easy. You hope it looks easy at the end of the day, and game one looked easy. Game two didn't look so easy. Unless you're a Toronto Maple Leafs fan. Looked a lot easier on that side because they had the zone time. They had the pressure. They had just about everything they wanted in that game. Austin Matthews, he's their best player. Again, for a second game in a row, I think he played like their best player. They tried to get Mitch Marner going by putting him on the same line as Austin Matthews. You know, again, he was visible, but he was on the ice a lot. He was on the ice at even strength. He was on the ice on the power play, and they had a lot of power plays. They had five of them. Blue Jackets killed them all off, but they had five of them. That's too many penalties to take. Throws you all out of sync. I'll talk with Jean-Luc Grandpierre about that in just a few minutes here. But that throws you out of sync. You've got to stay at 5-on-5, especially against this team, for both of those reasons. Number one, they have the offensive weapons that can beat you. Even though they didn't get a power play goal, that's not the point. The point is that they have the weapons and they can beat you like that. The other thing is, again, disrupting the lines. On Sunday, the Blue Jackets were able to roll four lines. There was good continuity there. There was good performances there. And it worked out well for them. Last night, it was different. It was broken up because of the special teams. And they just they didn't get results. I was going to say they didn't get the same result, but the fact is, last night, they just didn't get results. And they've got to find a way to turn it around for Game 3, which is coming up tomorrow. But that's just the way that I look at it. Am I an expert? Yeah, kind of. But the real expert is the former Blue Jackets defenseman who now works as an analyst for Fox Sports Ohio. That is Jean-Luc Grandpierre. Let's bring him in as part of today's interview, which is being brought to you by the Columbus Dispatch.
Well, Jean-Luc, I don't know if you could have two games that were more the opposite of one another than Sunday night, where the Blue Jackets won 2-0 over the Maple Leafs, and then yesterday afternoon, where the Maple Leafs come out and just bring it to the Blue Jackets. They wind up shutting them out by the score of 3-0. You knew the Leafs were going to come hard in that game, but did you expect the Blue Jackets to show a little bit more than you saw in game two?
I did. I expected definitely more from this team. We all know this is a team that typically John Torella and his coaching staff, they have them ready to play. And they knew the Leafs were going to go at them. You read all the newspapers in Toronto, and they were already on Tavares and Marner's case. So you expected these guys to come out flying, and they really did. And I think it caught the Blue Jackets on their heel. Thankfully, Jonas Korpisalo was there to enjoy answer the bell, because I'll tell you something. The only common denominator between game one and game two was the performance of the goaltenders.
Yeah, and he was great. I mean, he was, and when I'm talking about Korpisalo, he was the star of the game. I don't think there was anybody else for the Blue Jackets you can even say had a good game other than Jonas Korpisalo. And let's be honest about it. If he didn't have a good game, it's probably 4-0, maybe in the first period, maybe by early in the second period, and he's getting yanked for Elvis Merzlikin. So it was really important for him to have a good game. So that's the positive sign of that. But I was really, really shocked that they just couldn't generate any kind of offense. Now, you know, I talked to Jody yesterday before the game, and, you know, he talked about how well the Leafs defended in game one. John Tortorella told me how well the Leafs defended in game one. Well, in game two, they did it all, right? I mean, they defended, they made it tough on the Blue Jackets, and then they found a way to finally get their goals.
Yes, they defended really well. You saw the big guns, you know, the Matthews back-checking with a purpose, making it hard on the Blue Jackets for it. But the big difference is the Blue Jackets could not, I don't know if it's because they can get into a groove with all the penalty that occurred during the game, but we never saw that energy shift of whether it was Riley Nash's line or the first line being able to generate good offense in the zone for 30, 45 seconds. It was 1-2 pass, and then the Leafs would cut it down, and in transition, they were killing the Blue Jackets. So that's something they'll have to adjust. The passing was not as sharp, but I think it's because Toronto basically took the Jackets to their own game plan and plugged the middle really, really bad. And it was really hard for the Jackets to even find any ice to skate with the puck. So that's something they'll have to rectify in game three, but I'm not worried that they'll be ready to play for that game.
You know, it's really funny. After the first game, you wouldn't even contemplate making a lineup change before game number two. And now you watch how Torts had mixed up all the lines. You mentioned Riley Nash. You know, this is a guy I think has played really well in the first two games. And at one point, the Blue Jackets had 6 shots on goal, and 2 of them were shorthanded chances by Riley Nash. Now, is he going to get the same amount of minutes as Pierre-Luc Dubois or Alexander Wenberg? No, probably not. However, you got to start somewhere. And Alexander Texier wound up with a line on him, or ended up on a line with him, I should say. And I don't think that that's because – I don't know that it's because Texier was playing badly. I think it was because John Tortorella was trying to get him somebody that might be able to get him the puck.
Yes, it was. And I said it on the air after the game. It was no disrespect to Riley Nash, but he was definitely the spark plug offensively for the Blue Jackets. And if the Blue Jackets want to win, you want these guys to contribute, but you can't count on Riley Nash to be your offensive threat in the game. And that's what he was in that game. Unfortunately for the Blue Jackets, again, I come back to those penalty minutes. It really hurt them, because all of a sudden the Nash, Robinson, and Texier line didn't get to go out there and bring that energy that you want to see a fourth line bring, because those guys were sitting on the bench most of the game beside Riley killing penalties all game. So that really messes up with the flow. Try to distribute the ice time equally toward your forwards, and that's what they did in game one.
I am left to wonder if the penalties were called tighter in game two, or if they're just honestly were more penalties in game two. A couple of the penalties that I saw the Blue Jackets complain about, when I looked at them on the replay, they looked like penalties. There was the one, was it Foligno? Yes, it was Foligno that got the holding call. he reaches around where his arm gets around the waist of the Toronto Maple Leafs player. And when the referee is behind you, and when that's all that he sees, whether you're holding on to him or you're not holding on to them, I think they're going to call that. Boone Jenner was unhappy about the interference call that he got against Kapanen, right? And when I looked at the replay, I thought, yeah, he probably rode him a little bit too long without the puck being on his stick, because there's a grace period there. I think he went beyond that grace period. So, again, I don't know if they were calling it tighter or if the Blue Jackets just weren't getting away with they didn't get away with the stuff maybe they shouldn't have gotten away with. What do you think?
Early in the game, the first 5-10 minutes, I was like, wow, the refs are going to let these guys play. So a couple big hits and, you know, guys leaving their feet. I think that was on Dean Kukan early in the game. I was like, all right, this is going to be typical old school playoff. They're going to let them play. And then all of a sudden, things tighten up really, really hard. The only penalty in this whole game that you could not argue with was probably the Bemström holding in the neutral zone. That was like a penalty 10 years ago, 15 years ago. That was a penalty. But yeah, it seems like after that first 10, 12 minutes of that first period, the refs started getting tighter and they called more and more penalties. And that's something the Blue Jackets do not want to see, is being shorthanded. And let's not kid ourselves. Power plays are nice, but, you know, I think the Jackets, to be successful, need to play as many minutes as 5-on-5 with a team like Toronto.
Yeah, and that's a good point. Although they were perfect in the penalty kill, but as you were saying earlier, it really disrupts the flow. When they were able to roll their four lines on Sunday, they were really good. As soon as they couldn't do that and they had a mix and match and put penalty killers in, that's really what changed the whole flow, isn't it?
It does, because you're looking at the ice time for these players, and now all of a sudden you have the Matthews, the Tavares, the Marners on the ice for more and more minutes. And if you look at the amount of talent, I said on the air, Bobby, I was like, sometimes I'm a little anal about math, and I look, it was $45.9 million of payroll on that power play for Toronto. Things are not going to end up really well for you if you keep these guys on the ice over and over. So for these guys, they got way too much ice time. If you can draw penalties and have Toronto kill some penalties, you're in much better position.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You know, to go back to that hit on Dean Kukan early in the game, you played the game. You've talked to the officials on the ice. And you know, after a hit like that, and I've watched this game for a long, long time, I think sometimes hits like that can also make officials go, hey, we can't let – this is like 3 minutes into the game. We can't let this thing get out of control here. Maybe we've got to watch with a closer eye. And, again, I'm not saying that they called anything that shouldn't be a penalty. I'm not saying that. But I think sometimes when you have a hit like that, it does raise the awareness of the officials on the ice. Do you agree?
I agree. It raised the awareness. And what it did for Toronto, it gave them a boost early on. Big hit like that, all of a sudden they're like, hey, we're in their kitchen. They may be down to 5 defensemen. A big hit always gives you a boost. And we saw it last season when Josh Anderson was in the lineup for the Blue Jackets. He terrorized the Tampa Bay Lightning defensemen. And that's what you want to see. So that was part of their game plan. And they executed it well. So next game for the Jackets, you have to play with a cool head. But throwing a few hits like that, but you can't hit anyone if you're not generating attack. You have to get the puck out of your zone, pressure on the defenseman. That's what they need to do.
Yeah, and that's what I was just going to ask you. Now, you've got – not only do you have a game three, but let's be honest, you got back-to-back games now. So this is not going to be easy for either team. You know from your playing days, winning two games in a row against the same team is not easy. I remember it when I was in the American League, and we used to go to St. John's, Newfoundland. And you always went there and you played two games because they only wanted to send you there one time a year, right? So go in there and get your games. Like every year it would be a split because it was just so hard to beat the same team 2 days in a row. So both of these teams are facing that. But for the Blue Jackets, you know, again, you're on cloud nine when you leave the game on Sunday. You are lower than dirt when you leave the game last night. Where do they need to be for game three tomorrow? How do they quickly rectify what happened to them in last night's game?
For me, Bob, it starts in the first 5 minutes. You cannot start the game. Today, I think their shots were 6-0 for Toronto, and they probably had 95% possession time in those first 5 minutes. All of a sudden, the Jackets were on their heels. Yes, Corpy played great, but you just can't start the game like that, because all of a sudden Toronto has set the tone for the rest of the period, and then it can go into period two. And again, I'm going to come back to Corpy. If he's not making those big saves, the Jackets could have been down 4-5-0 just in that first period.
You know, to be honest with you, if he's not making those big saves, and let's just be completely truthful here, if he gives up 3 in the first period, there's a good chance he's gone from that game and Elvis is in the game, not even if it's any offense to him. If those pucks go in, the way that whole momentum was going, I mean, that could have been a real series-changing thing for Jonas Korpisalo personally, let alone the Blue Jackets as a team in goal, right?
Yeah, for the Blue Jackets in goal. And I'm not taking anything away from Elvis, but taking a goalie cold that's been sitting on the bench for a game and a half, and now you're putting him against the Marners, the Tavares, and the Nylander, I don't like your chance as a goaltender. I don't care who you are. So, fortunately, again, Korpisalo was solid, but for the Jackets, you cannot lean on your goaltender that much. You need to generate a little bit more and really limit the chances offensively for Toronto. And that starts by playing disciplined hockey.
A couple of things for the Blue Jackets. They did get some power plays. They didn't score, obviously, on the power play. What did you think of that? Because I think by the last one, if I'm not mistaken, they switched Zach and Seth back around, where Seth was operating from the blue line and Zach was more of the half wall guy. Now, as we saw in the camp that they had at the ice house before they left to go to Toronto, they had switched that around, and that's the way it has been. But it seemed like somebody, and I'm guessing it's Paul McLean because he's a special teams guy, somebody said, all right, that's not working. We got to try something else here.
Seth made some nice plays from the half wall. You know, as far as feeding the puck through the middle, I think the Blue Jackets were a little too cute on the power play. And by too cute, I mean, you know, you look at Toronto, you look at Carolina, some of these teams, they like to move the puck around and they make you dizzy and then finally somebody's open. And sometimes tonight, I felt like that's what the Jackets were trying to do. I'd like to just get back to basic power play where you go side to side, one-timer, you got a Nick Foligno or Boone Jenner in the crease, creating some, you know, obstruction and shielding the goalie, and just get on some rebound and get some ugly goals. Sometimes when you try to get things a little too cute, it complicates things. For the Jackets, especially last night, they need to generate more shots, and the power play didn't generate that much as far as shots on them.
Why are they like that, Jean-Luc? Is it just a factor? Look, this is no offense to them. They are not as gifted as the Toronto Maple Leafs when it comes to offense. They are not as gifted as some teams. Maybe you could say many other teams. I don't know. But they do have that grit. Why don't they play to that? Why do they try to be too fancy? Why do they try to get the highlight reel goal when they really should just get the ugly goal that still counts the same?
I'm not sure, Bob. I've never been a power play guy, but I can tell you typically if you have the puck on your stick, especially on the power play, you do not want to waste an opportunity with a shot if you can see the goaltender, because most likely he can see you. And if the goalies can see the shots in the NHL today, they'll make the save most of the time. The only guy that is not going to hesitate to pull the trigger is Oliver Bjorkstrand. And I think the other teams know it, and they're taking that passing lane away. Although he's at the point, the minute Bjorkstrand gets the puck on his stick, you can see everybody clears the way to make sure the goaltender can see it. But I think, you know, we need to see some of these other guys starting to think, hey, shoot first mentality. And that starts with Zach. That starts with Seth. All these guys, let's just pound the puck to the net and get some ugly goals.
If you were to guess, and that's all you'll be able to do because you're not there, you're not talking to anybody, you don't know, but you're a very smart guy. That's why you're an analyst. But if you were to guess, what would you guess about the lineup for game three? Does John Tortorella tweak it? And if he does, you know, Kukin's an easy thing. Like he said after the game that he thought that he was fine. But if they think maybe he wasn't fine, that's an easy fix. But do you also go for an easy fix with like a Liam Foodie who, you know, he wasn't, I can't say wasn't involved in the game because he was, but he didn't do anything. He didn't get any points or whatever. That's an easy take out of the lineup type of a guy. You know what I mean? Because he's a rookie and that kind of stuff. Do you see if they do any tweaks, it'd be the easy things, or is this a chance to send a message? Would it even be worth to send a message in game three?
That's a tough one. So on the defensive side, I think if Cook is okay, he'll be playing the next game. I'm not worried about it. So I don't expect any change in that. Obviously, I don't expect any change on defense. With the forward group, it's really hard because, again, you look at Liam Foudy and he played 12 minutes and 35 seconds, yet he was not jumping off the screen. But with all those penalties, as a player, it's really hard to get any kind of groove. And, you know, in game one, we saw Foudy flying with the puck, skating with the puck. We saw Eric Robinson skating with the puck and doing good things. But today, they never really got the chance to because they'd be sitting on the bench for 6 minutes, and then now they got to go for 30 seconds, and then there's another penalty. So I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if there was some change, but okay, being the smart analyst that I am, I do not think there'll be any lineup change, but the lines will look different. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, that and that's very, very fair. I agree with you. And everything that you said, you're right. It's hard to hold guys accountable when they're not getting a chance to play their game. And, you know, the John Tortorella post game is usually a little bit different from the John Tortorella the next day. When it gets to it. But again, this is a short series. So it's not like a 7-game series. It's certainly not like the regular season where if you get off to a slow start or if you have a bad loss. I mean, in this series, you pretty much have to react right away, don't you?
Well, now you do because it's a best of three and you could be out or move on in the next 3 days, right? It's that quick. So back-to-back playoff or postseason games is going to be something that I've never seen before, personally. So it's going to be fun to cover, but I'll tell you, there's not going to be much time to dwell or to celebrate after that next game on Thursday night.
Come on, you never played any back-to-backs in the American Hockey League? I'm sure you did.
Well, that was different. Like you're talking about in St. John's, when we used to go to St. John's back in the days, you typically lose game one. You want to make sure you win the second game because you know it's going to be quite the night, and then you get on that flight the next morning with no sleep typically. So, yeah, game two usually is really important. But, yeah. Hey, they're in the bubble now, so we don't have to worry about that stuff.
That's true. But if you were able to get that win in game one of that weekend set, oh, boy, you were golden.
Right? You were golden, for sure, for sure.
Right. If you lost the second game, you still hear it in the morning on the flight. That's not when you wanted to hear anything. I've been there. I know what you mean. John Luke, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That is former Blue Jackets defenseman and current Fox Sports Ohio analyst Jean-Luc Grandpierre, gracious enough to join me on today's show and talk about the Blue Jackets and their loss last night to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Right now, let's take a look at some of the playoff leaders, and we'll go beyond the Blue Jackets Maple Leaf series here today and go with the overall NHL playoff leaders. The leaders being brought to you by Franklin University. Franklin makes it possible. And the overall points leaders in the National Hockey League coming into play today, because there are plenty of games left today. Connor McDavid of the Edmonton Oilers leads the NHL in points. He's got 6 so far this postseason. He is tied with his teammate Ryan Nugent Hopkins. What does that tell you about the way that those guys have been playing so far? Connor McDavid also leads the league in goals in the postseason in the early going here. He's got 4. Andrei Svechnikov of the Carolina Hurricanes has 3, and they all came in the second game of their series against the New York Rangers yesterday. Now, that series is going with a back-to-back today, so Carolina has the chance to sweep the Rangers right out of the playoffs, which is really ironic because during the regular season, the Carolina Hurricanes didn't beat the Rangers at all. The Rangers took all 4 games of the season series, but now we're in the postseason, and the script has definitely flipped on the New York Rangers. The assist leader in the league is Ryan Nugent Hopkins. He's got 5 points. I told you he has 6 total. 5 of the 6 have come through assists. This should be no surprise either. Sebastian Aho is 2nd of the Carolina Hurricanes. Again, he is a table setter. Svechnikov's got all those goals. Sebastian Aho is dishing him out and setting him up. So he is the leader. He's not the leader. He is 2nd in the league in assists. In assists. I got all choked up over that for some reason. But that's the low down there. And those are your leaders. Those are your offensive leaders in the Stanley Cup qualifiers to date. And again, they're brought to you by Franklin University. So for the Blue Jackets, it's about going back to the drawing board. It'll be interesting to see what John Tortorella does with his lines. There's no doubt the lines are going to be different. They were different during the game last night. I think he will definitely change the personnel arrangement. I don't know if he'll change the personnel. As John Luke said, you know, there's some easy changes that can be made there. Will they make them or will they not? That's what we're going to have to wait and find out from, well, if there's the practice and get the lines. And, you know, again, we're not there. We're not on the scene as normal. So I, like you, are going to have to wait and figure this out. But it'll be interesting. It won't be a surprise to me if he makes some changes or if he even makes one change. Again, I just want to see if the change is an easy one, if there is one, if it's an easy one, or if it's a send a message kind of thing. But we'll wait to find that out. He's not going to make a change in goal, that's for sure. Jonas Korpisalo has locked that job down right now from the way that he is playing. So that's the good news. It really is good news. Come on, let's think about it. Every year, the Blue Jackets have been in the playoffs here, and this is the fourth in a row. You want to know that you have stability in goal. And they knew they had that for 3 years with Sergei Bobrovsky. Coming into this one a couple of days ago, there was debate, right? We had debate. I tried to tell you what I thought, and I tried to tell you my opinion, and I turned out to be spot on, right? Hey, sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes you're good. Which one am I? You figure it out. I know what it is, but you figure it out. Anyway, all joking aside, this guy has been terrific. He's been outstanding, and he's been the backbone. So he has to continue to do that, and they've got to give him support. They did it in game one. They've got to do it in game three to not just get back into the series. They've got to take the lead again in this series and put that pressure squarely back on the Toronto Maple Leafs. That game tomorrow night is going to be at 8 o'clock Eastern time. Our pregame coverage on the Blue Jackets Radio Network will begin at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. You can get it on the flagship station, 97.1 The Fan in Columbus. You can get it across Ohio on our radio network. We also have a couple of stations in West Virginia. You can get it through your phone by using the Blue Jackets app. You can get it online at bluejackets.com. Just a myriad of ways for you to bring me into your life as I describe the action of the Blue Jackets and the Toronto Maple Leafs in Game 3 of their Stanley Cup qualifying series tomorrow night. Again, the faceoff is set for 8 o'clock. Pre-game coverage will begin at 7 o'clock. I'd like to thank Jean-Luc Grandpierre once again for being with me today, and thanks to you, as always, for being here for CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Until tomorrow, I'm Bob McElligott saying so long.